Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from professional storyteller Pat Neese, who's coming to Boca.
In the spring of 1998, my daughter Catherine called. Mom, she said, you and I should run the Marine Corps Marathon. It's in November in Washington, D.C. What do you think? Huh, I said. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. I don't know where my brain was. Or maybe I'd been drinking. I am not a runner. I mean, I run, sort of. I also stop any time I get a chance. Look at a dead bird. Look at someone building a house. Check out what the neighbors are planting. But I'd said I'd do it, and I had months to get myself in shape for this 26.2-mile marathon. I asked my husband, Al, to be my trainer. Puh, that was a mistake. His idea of training is to drive along beside me and yell. I fired him. I'll do this myself. Well, I meant to do it myself. But in all honesty, I was not my best coach. I procrastinated, I postponed, I piddled around until, well, by race day, I had only gone 16 miles. But I figured, all right, if you can go 16 miles, you can go a little farther. Race day came, we were at the staging area along with thousands of other runners. They were putting chips in our shoes, not the kind of chips you eat, but chips to monitor your progress around the course and give you your time should you still be alive at the end. All the elite runners were put in the front. The not-so-elite were massed in the middle. And the unknown and uncared about were tossed in the back. That's where we were. I looked around at my fellow runners. We were a good-looking group. And very varied. We had Darth Vader was there. We had a guy in a tuxedo. There were ladies in tutus. We had a cowboy with a big Stetson and cowboy boots and spurs. I thought, oh, I bet you're going to be missing your horse. There was a clown there who was dressed all up in his clown costume and barefoot. I mean, it was an array. No one told me that costumes were optional. I felt left out. Bam with the gun, and off we surged, thousands of runners pounding down the way. It was like a human tsunami. The whole race course was lined with spectators, and they were loud, cheering us on. Run, they'd cry, run, run. You can do it. Don't quit. You're our heroes. Keep going, run. The awareness of my own breathing, my arms pumping, my heart pounding, and all those thundering feet around me, and the urging, the constant yelling of the crowd, it put me in a kind of surreal, out-of-body experience for a while. As the race wore on, I was no longer in an out-of-body experience. I was experiencing my body full-on, every inch of which hurt. Ah, oh, I thought, what was I thinking? On we ran, past the Capitol, the monuments, the memorials, up and down the hills. I saw people stretched out at Red Cross tents, and I considered it. There were volunteers who came and gave us little cups of water. I looked around for something stronger, but there wasn't anything. There were porta-potties about every 4 or 5 miles, and I made full use of every one of them. It felt so good just to sit down. Run, they cried. Run, you're almost there. You can do it. No, I wanted to yell at them. Shut up. I'm not almost there. I've got over 10 miles to go. Oh. Mile 17, I found Jesus. On I ran, my legs aching, my toes on fire. You can do it. Go, go. The race ends at Arlington Cemetery, which, if you think about it, is totally appropriate. But ho, 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 they save the best to last. It's an uphill run, a looping run, back and forth and back and forth, higher and higher. And around every loop, you think, ah, this is it, the end of the race, here it is. No, around more, another loop, and another, I don't think I can do it, I thought. I don't think I can do it. And then that clown passed me, still running and barefoot. Well, if he can, I thought. I pushed on and around the next loop. There I saw it. The end, the finish line, and a chair. I sat down. These good-looking Marines took the chip from my shoes. They gave me an aluminum blanket around me. And they looked at me and they pointed toward the Red Cross tent. Ma'am, you might want to go there, they said. I looked. It was uphill. I was not going uphill. Well, days later, I was still in recovery. I lost 3 toenails. It took a long time for me to be able to move my legs correctly. But I had a time to reflect, and I was determined. I was determined I was going to go back. I'm going back, I thought. And if you decide to give this race a try, you look for me, because I'll be there. I might be wearing a tutu. I'll be a spectator. I'll be urging you on. Run, run. You can do it.
Pat Neese with a story about running a marathon.
An incredible story. I've got to talk about the end first. I love the way she said, you may see me in a tutu. You may see me cheering you on, saying run, run. She didn't say you're going to see me doing it again.
What was she looking like when people told her to go to the first aid station?
Can't imagine. She told us certainly how she was feeling. And I love the juxtaposition from out-of-body experience to feeling every single part of her body hurt. She wished she could be out of her body, so we know what she was feeling. But we know how everybody else was looking. She goes into great detail about the costumes that the people were and that there were thousands of people. This must have been just a mob scene. The only thing I can think of that would have pushed you along, as she very strongly implied, it was this yelling of the crowd and the sheer inertia, the sheer momentum of everybody running in the same direction.
It was pretty gruesome. She mentioned a clown running without shoes, and she had shoes and damaged her feet.
She lost 3 toenails. This is the stuff of which great stories is made. You've got to live, Michael, in order to have a great life story.
Maybe she just lost 1 toenail and tried to make it a little bit better for the story.
Well, she's allowed to do that as a storyteller, to elaborate and enhance and add a little polish here and there. And I felt it. I felt every thumping of her heart and every intake of breath. She made it feel so alive with the use of her voice, the use of her language. I am sure that if we had been watching her, her body, her face would have also reflected those feelings.
She mentioned, what was I thinking? And I'm still trying to figure out, what was she thinking? Why would she do this, never having done it before?
And when she procrastinated, postponed, and piddled away her time to practice, what was she thinking? If you've never done it before, theoretically, you're going to work pretty hard at this. And then talk about what were you thinking. I tried to have my fiancé teach me how to drive many years ago. It was a disaster. To have your husband as a coach, I think, would be, even for something like this, I think is a recipe for disaster. So I wasn't surprised when that did not last long.
Pat Neese is a professional storyteller. Karen, where is she performing?
She is coming to Boca Raton next Saturday, November 2nd, for the Story Central Professional Storytelling Series. She will be at the Boca Raton Public Library, the downtown branch, 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue at 4 p.m. It is a free storytelling concert.
If our listeners have a South Florida story they would like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
You don't need to send a story. Just send your intention and your name and your phone number and your email to C. Neil. That's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at FAU.edu.
Thanks, Karen. Dr. Karen Neil is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.